Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, How to Train Your People, Chapter 1, Introductions, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, how should I be involved when my team is trained? What should I say to kick off a training session? And how can I make sure my directs get the most from training?
Folks, we're having a busy year this year, adding new products and services and adding more value to existing product services because we know the last 18 months have been an interesting time for everybody. We're trying to do our part to make it even easier to become a licensee and to add more value to that. In addition, we're extending some of our license benefits to those of you whose companies have you trained on Effective Manager and you get licenses for our work. If you don't know it, if your company brings us in or does a virtual session, you get essentially virtually all of our license access. So things I think, the interview creation tool, access to roadmap, the interviewing series. The only thing you don't get is executive tools. And that's a significant value. I think there's about $350 worth of value that has been added to our license, which is now available to you and normally sells for $200. And if your organization brings us in, you get all that for free as an attendee. And we're also letting all of those of you who have been trained at a client event, we've added those things retroactively for you. So be able to get access to it. Study the show notes when you need just when you only have 5 minutes to go into some detail about helping you over a difficult situation. Remember that all of our show notes, all of our shows, all of our guidance is actionable and specific. It's not about high-level ideas. It's about specific things you can do. The what, the why, the how, and the when. I hope your organization will consider bringing us in.
Well, folks, Kate is out of the office this week on a well-deserved vacation. So we've got a guest on this week's show. And we don't often have guests on our show. This week, we're having on our show Mr. Mark Horstman. Mark, welcome home.
That's so good. That is so good. Folks, the reason Sarah started this way is because I can't remember. Oh, I slacked you and said, hey, Cass is written. How about recording at this time? You wrote back, sure, that works great for me. And then you said, I don't want to go scrolling through my Slack, but then you said, that's great. I look forward to you being a guest on my show.
You bet I did.
And I decided to take a screenshot of that and send it to everybody in the company on our general manager tools Slack channel, and they all got a hoot out of it. So I feel very lucky to be one of the rare guests.
We don't host people manager often. Tools.
I think three or four people, Rites of Passion, John Lucht, Mark Granger.
Dan McGuire.
And there was also a famous author, famous guy whose name is escaping me, who came on to plug his book and he was horrible. Okay. And we're never doing another book plug. I don't know why I did. It was Jim Collins. Because it was Jim Collins.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
It's why
Jim
wouldn't
Collins.
You?
He's a
You'd
genius.
Crazy not to.
And then it turned out that he saw us as just some peons that he was using to get more people to buy his book. So.
Alrighty. This week, as mentioned, we're going to talk about how to train your people. Now, guys, we've been saying for years that training is badly mishandled by virtually every organization in the world. Now, we've talked about this a lot. Companies are great at buying training. There are processes wrapped around training. There's processes for scheduling, logistics, booking meeting rooms, catering meals. There's processes for purchase orders, vetting, making sure the necessary budgetary approvals are there. There's a lot of processes around purchasing an event.
Right.
Organizations, though, while they have all the processes in the world to host an event, they're not so good at the after action of it.
Yeah, it's the same way that when you buy a drill, you don't actually want the drill. You want a hole. When orgs buy training, what they want is not the training, but what they want is the behavior change that the training is supposed to create. Mm-hmm. And everything is focused on the event. And unfortunately, nobody pays attention to the behavior after the fact. It doesn't get measured and so on. And folks, if you want value from your training, don't see it as an event. And to quote Billy Bean in one of my favorite movies of all time, Moneyball. It's a process. It's a process. Don't focus on the event. Let's focus on the process. And so I realized we needed to help managers even more than we already have in terms of, okay, what should a manager do when her or his team or part of a team is getting trained, or even more broadly, he or she has hired us to train all of their directs, for instance. And so this is the first chapter of that series. And it won't be sequential. In other words, next week, we won't be doing chapter two. But as I have time to write it, I'll write more of the chapters about other things like follow-up and measuring and so on. And the reason I wrote it, even though I'd had it in the back of my head, it's in my long list of 3,000 casts yet to write. I'm often reminded that I have so much to do, I will never retire. I will retire when I die. But the reason I wrote it is because the story you told me, you witnessed it at a client effective manager training. So I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to give the outline.
Okay.
It'll make me feel like I'm at home a little bit. And then the first bit is what actually happened. Yes. And so I want you to tell us the story of what actually happened.
Absolutely.
So Sarah's going to tell the story of what actually happened. And then I'm going to go through some guidance that this particular person followed perfectly. First of all, you got to kick off the training that your people go to yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you have already thought, oh, well, what if my people are only part of the group? We'll cover that. I promise. Okay. Next, know what you want your people to get out of it. That's a big reason why training goes awry, is because people don't know what they want to get out of it. So they don't know whether or not what they got was what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You got to be the first one there. You have to greet your people.
Absolutely.
You have to speak first, not the trainer. Mm-hmm. You have to tell them what you expect from them in the session. You have to tell them what you expect after the session as well. Obviously, you attend the session, not just do an introduction, if it's possible. And then you debrief after the session. This is how you managers get the maximum value out of their training dollar.
Exactly.
So 9 steps, which is that's a throwback to old MT days when we had 13 and 14 and 15 step casts. So first step, what actually happened?
All right. Mark and I were talking last week in our one-on-one, and I gave this glowing recount, yeah. I want to say, of what happened at a recent client training session. So glowing, in fact, that he asked after the fact in our meeting, he said, why don't you just send me a quick blurb, just a one paragraph, Sarah, of why it was so good. And so I sat down, wrote a quick blurb on which I'll elaborate to give a bit more context to the day itself.
Good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to read me the email.
Exactly.
I already read the email. They don't need an email read to them.
Yeah. Exactly. So in terms of the event, I arrived on site for a 9 a.m. start at 8 a.m. Now, when I walked into the
room. Had you done some stuff the night before?
Yes. The night before, I did a little bit of recon. I walked over to the venue. I checked it out. I saw the space. It wasn't set up yet, but I met the events people, the people that work in that property.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a client property. Mm-mm. It's a client hired property.
Yeah. It wasn't a hotel, but it was an events venue. So yeah. I met the folks on site. I knew who I would be seeing in the morning, who I might recognize. I knew some names, look for Phyllis and Kyle, those kinds of things. I'd done my own little behind the scenes recon, such that when I arrived at 8 a.m., I walked in, glanced around, and I saw immediately Kyle, the gentleman I expected to see who would help me with things. Mm-hmm. In addition to Kyle, there was an individual from the organization who was there. His name is Kevin. Kevin was not my executive sponsor for the event. He's been a point of contact for me, though. We've been talking in advance. He came up, warmly welcomed me. Hello, how are you? Which was just great to see.
And not normal, necessarily.
Not normal, necessarily. Not at all. No, I'm used to being there, setting it up myself.
Yeah, nobody there.
Exactly. Now, within 5 minutes of my arrival, I would say a handful, 4 or 5 folks showed up, one of which was my executive sponsor.
You're saying 5 minutes after 8 in the morning.
8:05.
For a 9 o'clock start.
Yes.
There were people already coming in.
There was people already coming in.
Folks, you may be listening and think that's normal. That's completely bizarrely rare. Mm-hmm. Nobody shows up until 30 minutes, and that person is always somebody who had a different commute than normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Overestimated the amount of time, and they walk in, and in 80% of the cases, they sit down at one of the things, open up a laptop, and start doing mail. And in many cases, don't even say hello, which is, in my opinion, completely bizarre land, but okay, whatever, to each his own.
To each his own.
All right, so it's 5 minutes after, you've got four or five people already there, one of whom you said was the
executive sponsor. A vice president with the company. He came in, we'd seen each other in advance. We had a call in advance over Zoom, so we knew each other's faces. He came up, did our formal niceties, introduced himself to me. And at that point, at 8.05 a.m., he said, I'd like to introduce you. Is that all right? And of course I agreed. I said, that's a great idea. And at that point, I said to him, I'll come find you at a few minutes till to remind you to get us started.
Right. What's funny about this, folks, is that frequently you'll be chatting with an executive sponsor or a manager, or director, or someone, or an HR person, or just an admin. And you'll say to them, do you want to introduce me? Now, typically an admin would say no. A manager would probably also say no. An HR person likely also say no, unless they are, in fact, the executive sponsor.
Yeah.
But typically, they're surprised when you ask them, because the people who assume they're doing it have already prepared for it to some degree. And unfortunately, the surprise, once you've asked and you see that surprise on your face, their face, you know, there is a chance, it's less than 50%, that they're going to say yes, and then they're going to suck at it because they're not prepared. And then they say, oh, hey, why don't you just text me your bio? Like, no, that's not really, no.
Right.
And then there are other things that happen too, but we'll talk about that later.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now it's, let's say, 8.06 a.m. for all intents and purposes. And I spend the next 40 or so minutes setting up my room, introducing myself to folks as they walk in.
Right.
All the while, the executive sponsor, we'll call him Jeff because Jeff is his name. Jeff is wandering around. He's introducing himself. No, I shouldn't say that. Probably not introducing himself, but welcoming people, greeting people. Hi, good morning.
They know who he
is. Chatting with folks. They know who he is.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, the first week of a new person who'd started there. So I suppose there were some people in the room that he actually didn't know at all.
Right, right.
So he's walking around. He's chatting. Now, here's where we catch up to the email that I sent Mark. We're now in time at, let's say, 8.55 a.m. And at 5 minutes till the session, Jeff came up. He found me. In order to introduce me, Manager Tools, to the group and get us kicked off. Now, remember, I said to Jeff at 8.05 a.m., I'll come find you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And remind you. Because, I mean, typically, if we've usually been the one to ask, let's admit, that would you like to introduce me? And they're like, yeah, okay, sure. I mean, I can. Which means that we have to then make sure we're paying attention to the clock. I got to track you down. I got to let you know.
Exactly.
And find individuals. But it's him finding me. It's 5 minutes till the session is set to start. And I assume wrongfully that he's going to make his way up there slowly. No. He looks at the front of the room. We're on a mission. We're going up to the front of the room. It's 8.55 in the morning. And he begins his introduction of me at 8.56, 4 minutes before my session is set to start.
Yeah. Was everybody already in the room?
Everyone was in the room.
Yeah, I got to say that's exceptionally rare. But maybe he knew that, whether he did or didn't. I think it's kind of cool that he started early. And I assume in the back of his mind, part of that was, I don't want to take away from what Sarah has to offer.
Exactly. And I mean, he gave, I'm going to say, about a 4 minute introduction. I started on time, not a minute late.
Right.
So his introduction was such that he didn't take time off my agenda. And if you're familiar with Manager Tools, y'all know our agendas are tight.
Yes.
They're tight. I mean, I need every minute that I've been given. So Thank you. We got it started on time. That was nice. In addition, when he was then introducing himself to the group, he let the group know who Manager Tools was as an organization, how he learned of us, and what his expectations were following the session itself.
Yeah.
He talked clearly. He talked loud enough for everyone to hear. He had no paper, no notes in front of him, cue cards in his hand. It was clear that he'd planned exactly what he wanted to say.
Right.
He told them that the guidance is data supported and is a proven process, then relaying or mentioning to them that he'd been using it in his previous organization. So he had his own personal experiential data.
Right.
That an organization can use this to great success.
Why, if you have experience with something, why wouldn't you tell
exactly
people? If you have experience with something and you don't tell people, you're basically implying that you don't have experience with it.
Absolutely.
The idea that somebody in the audience knew that you knew about this thing and had done it and you didn't mention it, they would consider that a significant negative. Like, well, that didn't work out that well, but my people need to know it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Exactly. That's not good. And here's where it gets really good. He told them that our event, our session, my apologies, would be more than a single event. He pointed them to the person, Kevin, I mentioned Kevin from earlier, pointed them to the person in the room whom would be following up after the session to ensure that what was discussed was then put into practice on their teams.
Yeah.
I mentioned he spoke clearly, he spoke loudly, he made eye contact with people. It was clear to me he'd prepared, and his delivery only further impressed me later in the day when he mentioned that he's terrified of public speaking. And I mean, guys, it takes a lot to fool someone who is, for all intents and purposes here, a career public speaker into not knowing you're nervous. If we say you're good,
right? Yeah.
So that was amazing. Then, to continue, at the end of the day, something I didn't even tell you, Mark, at the end of the day, we had a couple of minutes left in the agenda. I said, Jeff, did you want to say anything? And he stood up, came back to the front of the room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Not spoke from his chair where he was seated, came back to the front of the room, and he reiterated the importance of it, mentioned again that Kevin would be in touch to make sure that they were set up in the tool of roadmap to ensure that they started actioning everything they've learned from our session in regards to the Trinity rollout, thanked me for coming, thanked everyone for their time, and adjourned us. Just
heavenly.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was wonderful.
That's how to do it, folks. It really is. And we're going to go into even more detail now to give you various tangents off of that. Folks, another mention. October 27th and 28th of this year in Chicago, our second annual M conference, focused on managers, although we do have some individual contributors come every year, and about the transition for a manager thinking about becoming an executive. We'll have a series of Manager Tools community executives come and speak on various topics about what they learned, about how they grew, about how they've grown their network, about how they work with more senior people, about how to solve difficult problems. And as well, you'll expand your network considerably. We have people from our first conference 2 years ago. Obviously, we didn't get to have one last year. We have over 50 or 60 managers still on a WhatsApp thread, posting daily, asking questions, giving comments, suggestions, and so on, after they all met in person. Again, October 27th and 28th in Chicago. I hope to see you there. Okay, good. So let's walk through the rest of the agenda, the other 8 points. The first thing we said was kick off the training yourself. And I'll start us here by saying, please, folks, don't be like all the disconnected and therefore assumed arrogant executives in the world who say their people need training and then they don't attend the training themselves. If your people are being trained, at a minimum, you ought to be there at the beginning of their day. Mm-hmm. It takes, what, 15, 20 minutes of your time, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. It pays the most dividends in terms of the investment you've got and the training. It pays the most dividends of any other thing you're going to do that day.
Absolutely, it does.
And look, Sarah's example of an executive sponsor, you say, well, the executive, all those people, let's say, were in his organization in some mm-hmm. way, shape, or form, right? But even if your people are only part of the training, offer to kick it off anyway.
Definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you're worried that somebody else will be doing it, doing the kickoff, stop worrying. They almost never
not
do.
Not a valid concern.
Not a valid concern. Good. If you're thinking that HR will do it, they probably won't.
Nope.
And while training firms like ours are happy to have somebody kick it off, HR, no offense, I love you, HR, is usually not the best choice unless they were the drivers of the training and are quite familiar with the training. Otherwise, having a stand-in introducer is a dumb thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
Look, we love HR to attend training. As long as they're doing an active role, they don't want to sit in the back and audit and be on their phones the way they all do. But look, HR is not going to be the one that benefits. You and your org are.
Mm-hmm.
So if your people are only part, let's say you have six people on your team mm-hmm. in some training that is for 30 people, find out who the sponsor is and offer to kick it off. You could say it. You could even say it in an email. You could say, I know my folks are only part of this, but I'm excited about this. Would love to be able to kick it off for us. They'll love it. They'll love that you offered, even if they decide themselves to do it. And frankly, we don't think they're going to get in your way anyway.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it's a problem.
Exactly. And folks, in addition, if someone else above you is going to the event to kick it off, you might think, oh, well, my manager's going there. I don't need to go. We would suggest that you be there anyway. If for no other reason than to greet your folks and thank them for being on time. I mean, gather them together for 2-3 minutes before the talk starts. You could send them a mail beforehand, letting them know, hey guys, I'd like you to be there a few minutes early. I'd like to spend some time setting the stage before the day actually kicks off. That'll only increase the chances that they arrive on time.
Yeah. Imagine that your team, you tell them you're going to be there early. Your team probably thinks, maybe he will, maybe she won't, whatever. And you're there and somebody shows up late and you're there and they know that you're not attending the training.
Right.
They're going to think, wow, I missed one here.
Exactly.
And of course, they're going to blame traffic. Everybody blames traffic.
Absolutely.
As if traffic magically congealed on a particular
day. I had no
day.
Idea. I had no idea there'd be other cars. This is crazy.
No idea.
Exactly. Guys, you're being there, even if someone else is introducing, sends a clear message that this session is a session spent learning in order to act, not multitasking or scrolling through some social media, whatever, that they think is more important than paying attention to what's occurring in the session.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest. Let's do the horseman middleman test here, Mark. If it was you, wouldn't you behave differently if you were in a training and you knew your boss was going to be there, was sitting in the back of the room?
Was going to kick it off?
Was going to
be there the whole day? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, you would. If you can't, and look, if you can't be there all day, and hopefully only because you've already attended the session previously.
Which,
won't
I mean.
But look, as we'll mention later, we know people who have attended our trainings 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Mm-hmm. Now, we like to think that's because our trainings are good. We don't like to think they are. We do think they are because we are good. I've been delivering this training for nearly 30 years. But won't they get more out of it if they know you want to spend 15 minutes with all your attendees the next morning in a little huddle? Maybe right after your morning stand-up, you say, hey, those of you who attended the training, let's chat for a little bit about yesterday's training. You could do that at the end of the day too. And if somebody from your stand-up didn't go to the training, say, oh, can I stand in? Sure you can. We're just going to talk about the training yesterday. And this is part of the process of extending the training beyond the event.
Absolutely.
And people need to know that when they go to the training, it's not just an event.
Exactly.
That there are going to be things that happen afterward. So they are already thinking this is going to be extended or extensive, if you like.
Absolutely.
All right. So next thing on the agenda then is know what you want your people to get out of the event.
Mm-hmm.
You go.
Absolutely. Okay. So you want to start by asking a question or figuring out an answer to a question, I suppose. If you want your folks to get something out of this training, you need to know what that thing is that you're looking for them to derive from it. Said differently, if you don't know what you want your people to get out of the training, are you really sure that you should be spending money on it?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, don't.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, what you want out of it is behavior change afterwards. You don't want knowledge. You don't want awareness. You want behavior change. You can't afford to be spending training on awareness or knowledge.
Right.
That's not what training is for. Okay? So, you're going to have to know what's being trained. You'll have to think through what that means afterwards. What are the behaviors I want? What do I expect them to do differently the next day, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Are you going to measure one-on-ones? Are you going to measure better meetings, maybe? Are you going to ask your attendees to brief you on key learnings? Why wouldn't you, in your next one-on-one with everybody who attended training, you spent $1,000 or $2,000 or $500 per person on the training? Why wouldn't you ask them, as your second or third question during your portion of their one-on-one with you, hey, spend a minute and talk to me about the training. Good, bad, indifferent. What did you learn? What did you like? What are you implementing? What's your plan?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And how is this training then going to change how you onboard new staff potentially?
Right. So this is a continuation of the questions. So for instance, if you come to our effective hiring manager training, we talk about onboarding.
Yeah.
So are you going to change how you onboard?
How?
What are you going to do? Are you going to have the attendees become a project team and give them 30 days to revamp your onboarding process? That's what I would do. Send them all to the training and then say, let's redo onboarding. Onboarding is not rocket science. Heck, we've already done it for you. Are they going to revamp your interview questions? Folks, I don't want to make this about our training, but you could send a group of your directs to our effective hiring manager training. And then say, one group, you're working on onboarding, maybe just two people, frankly, using our template. And then the other group, you guys are going to figure out how many jobs we hire for, and we're going to revamp all of our interview questions. Those are normal expectations that your organization will benefit from, and you don't have to worry about whether or not the money was spent well.
Right.
Would you spend $5,000 to totally revamp your onboarding and all of your interview questions? I would hope you would say yes. Hiring is the most important strategic thing managers do for their companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When we're talking training people, guys, think of it like this. You just invested in terms of time and money into the growth of the folks that work for you. The organization needs to see a little bit of return on investment.
Yep.
For what you just spent.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you've not done any event expectation planning before, and you start doing this, and some of your folks don't enjoy the after event expectations, this might mean some people are going to start opting out of being trained.
And I love that.
It's because people, I mean, I hate that it's true, sometimes think it's a kind of a nice day away from the grind of the office or a way to get a free lunch. I mean, those things have the best catered lunch.
Yeah, and it's free.
Exactly, and it's free. But you know that the training is about post-event behavior change. So why spend training or food dollars, frankly, on folks who don't want to be involved in the improvements you hope to achieve because of the newly trained behaviors?
Yeah.
It's a waste of money.
Yeah. And if you can't figure out what the benefit is to your people, reach out to the trainer.
Yeah.
Right?
They ought to.
And I got to tell you, they ought to.
They ought to.
But sadly, a lot of trainers won't be able to translate what they teach into behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, those are what we call amateurs. And I don't know if you know this, but amateurs don't get paid. That's the fundamental definition of an amateur. I wish the Olympics are going on now, and I love the Olympics, and I regret that we have professionals now in the Olympics. I wish it was back to the old amateur days years ago. Look, if you can't get good hard answers about behavior change that's expected to come out of, and those of you who are familiar with our feedback model know what the definition of behavior is, and I suspect that probably half the trainers you're hiring won't be able to talk to you in behavioral tools. You'll say to them, what will my people be able to do? He says, well, they'll have a better understanding of. No, I don't want to know what they'll understand. I understand that understanding is necessary for doing, but I don't want you to tell me what they'll understand. I want you to tell me what they will leave being able to do. And when somebody tells you this isn't that kind of training, what they mean is this is not training, because training is about behavior change. Exactly. It's not a briefing. It's not a high-level chin wag.
Right. To go a step further, good trainers didn't even have an event till they knew the results.
Yeah.
They had the results in mind and they planned an event which would accomplish those results.
Yep. Good trainers will be able to tell you exactly what to do and how to measure it and how to monitor.
That's all for this week, folks. We'll catch up with you next week for part 2 of this cast.